Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sportsbook. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long. This is the ZABEcast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. My man, Andy, guess what I did today? Two things that you have no use for whatsoever, and I did them at the exact same time. Any ideas?
One golf?
No, it was not golf. No. I wasted money, which I know you hate, and I bought fireworks, which is also something you don't choose to do. Lest I become Lefty Zabin or Nine Finger El Baldo.
Yeah, well, you know, you keep testing the gods, and I hope one day it doesn't happen.
I know. I hope I don't Jason Pierre Paul me, the most famous sports and firework injury probably in sports history. But we are on 4th of July week, and I know for me, because, you know, I still have my youngest daughter in the outer orbit of college. Mm-hmm. She's taking one more year of a grad program. She's back for the week because there's a break. So this week feels to me, Andy, since I've got Thursday and Friday off, it feels like a vacation week. It's relaxing. Does this feel like a vacation week to you?
No, I work on July 4th.
What?
Yeah,
You're working at 6:30 a.m., the sports capital.
Yes. Here's where I am in life. I'm working because I want to. So, you know,
and those shifts, I bet, were readily available on 4th of July.
Yeah. I mean, I do a show from 9 to 11. I enjoy doing it. You know how I like my routine. And I'm going to take my vacation in 2 weeks. Right. It takes a lot in August.
Right.
But working on July 4th to me is not a big deal.
I hear you. Good for you. Are you going to go to fireworks on 4th of July?
No, probably not. I have a 65-inch screen in front of my eyes right now where I will watch both the Capitol 4th and the Macy's fireworks, and then I will go to sleep.
But, Andy, without the sweating, without the traffic, without the bugs, without the threat of thunderstorms, which we're going to have on Thursday here in the D.C. area, is it really 4th of July? You go to YouTube right now to watch previous years' 4th of July fireworks from all over the world, and they're in high def 4K spectacular. You just have to ignore the year that it's for.
Right. Look, I did my time. I did those 4th of July with my kids
with my
bugs and the schmutz. And for a while, I found a perfect parking spot on Wooten Parkway. But then because I forget what the deal was, but they moved the fireworks and we had to go someplace where it was really hard to get in and out of.
Yeah.
And about that time, my kids were aging out, so it worked out just fine.
All right, let's shift gears to something even less fun to talk about, but we have to. Nepotism in sports. Bronny James, I cannot believe it, Andy, was drafted by the Lakers at 55. Now, I asked the question on Twitter, okay, what am I missing here? Nobody else was going to take him. Everyone else was warned, don't try to take him hostage. He'll go to Australia if you do. And so why not just draft somebody else at 55 and sign Bronny to an undrafted free agent contract? you'd at least game the system a little bit. It's only three spots because, you know, 55 to 58. There's only 58 picks for some reason. League is 30 teams. I don't get it. But, you know, I'm like, why don't you do it that way? And the answer is...
and I responded to your tweet,
yes,
they want him to be drafted. That LeBron James and Bronny James are teammates now, and Bronny James was drafted by the Lakers. It's like doctor. You don't ask where he finished in his medical school class. He's a doctor. Bronny James is a draft pick of the Lakers. That's the way that works.
Yeah, or if you're my principal, James E. Manning, you go by Dr. Manning, and he's a doctor of physical education. P.E. He was gym class doctor, yet insisted on being called doctor, which is a whole separate story and argument right there. But anyway, so do you think it has any cachet to be drafted in the second round, where the second round failure rate in the NBA is approaching 90%, meaning they don't stick on the team?
It is, but then if you make it, you can say, well, a lot of teams overlooked Bronny James. Look at him, last until 55. Now, somebody put out that if Danny Ainge was still running the Celtics, he'd have taken him at 54 and said to the Lakers, yeah, go send him to Europe or send him to Australia.
Right.
See what we care.
Right. He would have called their bluff. Like, if you're really trying to play the game and total gamesmanship, then as soon as, I guess, what's his name? The agent, Maverick Carter, was calling people going, don't take him.
Rich Paul,
not Maverick Carter. As soon as Rich Paul started calling around saying, don't take him, that was like, oh, I have more leverage now, because you know that will not be a satisfactory outcome for them. In fact, Fanatics already has a Bronny James number 9 jersey. It says James Jr. on it.
Right, and this stuff about LeBron may not go back to the Lakers. Come on. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, we're on the eve of free agency, and I saw that there is a possibility because he's opted out of his deal, he could take the mid-level exception, freeing up like $20 million in cap space, and they could go sign not one but maybe multiple component pieces to help them out, including perhaps Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I wonder if the Players Association would do anything about this. I guess not, but that's not a good precedent.
Of course not. Drafting your kid when he is a 4.3 point per game bench chump on a team that didn't win 20 games, that's also a bad precedent. Somebody pointed out that when Marcus Jordan, Michael Jordan's son, one of his two boys, was playing basketball at University of Central Florida. When he was graduating or eligible for the draft, he was coming off like a 15-point-a-year season. And Jordan at the time was the president of the Hornets. And he didn't lift a finger to try to get his kid on the team. He didn't care because he knew he wasn't an NBA player.
Right. And Jordan, it seems like Jordan has a very high standard for a lot of people.
Right.
So, you know, and having been burned with the Kwame Brown pick, you know, he didn't want to be focused on, once again, drafting his son. What's he doing?
Did I say Hornets? I meant to say Bobcats. They were still the Bobcats at that time when he was the owner and
elbowed.
Bobcats. They changed that name out after Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson, the founder of BET Network, was the first owner of that expansion team after the Hornets moved to New Orleans and became the Pelicans eventually. So when they got another team back, Charlotte did, Bob Johnson was the owner, and they named him the Bobcats because of him. You knew that, right?
I knew that, yeah. And then I guess because the Hornets was no longer in circulation,
yes,
they said, well, let's just send it back to where it started.
Which makes sense, and I think there's a lot of argument to reissue certain names to other cities, like the Utah Jazz. There ain't no Jazz in Utah. In fact, anyone who's ever been to Salt Lake City, wonderful city, great people. Some of them interesting, but I'll leave it at that. You can't get a restaurant open past 9. I've tried to get dinner there at 9. No chance. Salt Lake City, a major city, no chance. But anyway, so
I got hockey team now too.
Right, which is currently using the Utah hockey team moniker till they figure out a permanent name.
All right. I like that.
All right, so back to Jordan. Jordan didn't lift a finger. He didn't give a shit. LeBron is setting his kid up for potentially a very embarrassing failure as an NBA player, don't you think?
He could, or it could be just, you know, they want to accomplish this first and just, you know, it doesn't really matter that he won't become an NBA player. Maybe he was never an NBA player to begin with. I don't know. But I was watching the second round of the draft as this was unfolding. They turned the damn kid into Gandhi. I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski did this long speech about, you know, sons of, and, you know, there's nepotism all over the NBA and blah, 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 blah. You know, come on, really. I mean, this is something that LeBron's been talking about for years.
And
he made it happen.
And who caped up the most? Stephen A. Smith, who went on a 5 minute and 24 second uninterrupted stem winder, basically defending this. Here's a small snippet of that.
A little deep with this, forgive me. And if it gets to a point where I get personal with it, so be it. It's on me. We live in a country where nepotism has taken place with white folks religiously forever. We've said little to nothing about it. In the NBA specifically, in a league where at least 70% of the players are black, we've seen nepotism with white folks all over the place. Ownership, executive ranks, player personnel, scouting, coaching.
Mm-hmm.
A list goes on and on. Yep. We've said little to nothing about it. And now this happens with LeBron James, a member of the Mount Rushmore of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you've got people running their mouths. LeBron James is approaching 40 years of age. He ain't somebody that faded into the twilight. He's still an all-world player. LeBron James, if LeBron James was on the New York Knicks now, you trying to tell me the New York Knicks wouldn't be one of the favorites to win the chip? Right now, approaching age 40.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, yeah. So his whole angle was that I guess white people invented and used nepotism and black people never did. And now it's happened once. So nobody can call it what it is. I mean, just calling balls and strikes, it's blatant nepotism. He is a total nepo baby.
Right. And I don't necessarily have a problem with it given that he was taken at 55. But, you know, the one thing about Stephen A., if you break down the actual information that he's disseminating over these rants, it's one or two sentences. There really isn't a lot of thoughts coming out of it. There's just a lot of lengthy LeBron James who is not in the twilight of his career. I mean, come on.
Let me talk slowly and build up like this. He's got a very good preacher's cadence.
Right.
Which means he should be a preacher or a carnival barker, not on ESPN.
Do you know what his latest is? He won't talk about the numbers in this contract that he supposedly is asking $25 million for. He wants to be able to do late night TV, sitcoms, produce movies. No, I saw this interview that he did.
He wants to have a wider swath of the public hate his guts as much as sports fans hate his guts.
Well, they must like him because they're tuning in to watch. I can't imagine if they truly hated him, they wouldn't watch. But
people are going to watch ESPN.
What does he know about politics?
People are going to What does he know about politics? I don't know. Ask him. I'm sure he's very astute, Andy.
Right, but is there a need for another person to be yapping about politics on television just more loudly than others?
Do you think he can break down the significance of the Chevron decision by the Supreme Court when it comes to regulatory overreach? No. I don't think so. Is he going to join the dissenting justices in the case of Missouri versus Biden and whether or not, you know, they were standing to injunct these private companies like Facebook from censoring ordinary Americans? I doubt it. But I do know this. LeBron James is a great basketball on the Mount Rushmore. So somebody did a big string of nepotism in sports. And you and I directly took shots at it with the Redskins because it seems like every coach had their kid with them that right. came along, starting with Marty. Mm-hmm. Marty had his kid on the staff.
And you his had, brother.
Right. You had Spurrier with his kid on the staff.
Little Shoddy.
Little Shoddy. Gibbs brought two of his boys on the staff.
Just
right?
one.
Just one? Okay, the other one was in NASCAR. Yeah. And then, of course, you had the big one, which was the Red Lobster with his son, Kyle. Now, Kyle has done very well, but with a huge leg up to start his career. No question.
Right. You have noted, though, that Wes Unseld Jr. was coaching in the NBA this past season, and Bernie Bickerstaff's son just got a second job with the
right.
Pistons. So it's not like across the board.
Right. People maybe are talking about the LeBron James thing more now because LeBron James is such a hot topic. They aren't going to go into depth about the Bernie Bickerstaff thing.
Right. Yeah. And Wes Unseld Jr. turned out to be a terrible head coach.
How about,
and he got a job at his father's old organization.
How about Ronnie Thompson?
Yeah. Yeah. He got a one and done at Ball State because of his dad. I mean, that happens.
Oh God. And the threat of other sports nepotism, I think the most egregious had to be David Shula, the son of legendary Don Shula, who was absolutely terrible as the Bengals head coach, did run their steakhouse business. I said erroneously that Shula's was closed. Not true. Several listeners said, nope, there's still a handful of restaurants. They aren't operated, per se, by the Shula family anymore, but the name still has some sizzle, pardon the pun. And apparently the Michael Jordan Steakhouse has a few locations because I thought that closed as well.
Yeah, well, but it's interesting that David Shula, who was the head coach, once he lost his job as head coach, never coached again.
You know? Yeah, because he stunk.
Yeah. The other son who's had various jobs, including head coach at Alabama, he's still in the league somewhere, but not anywhere near head coach.
The Bowden kid?
No, Shula's other kid.
Right. Yeah, well, the Bowden's obviously spun off several kids and whatnot. Look, I just wish I was a Nepo baby myself. I wish I had that leg up. At one point in my young broadcast career, I said, scritch his chin, could I pass myself off as an Albert or a Buck? And the answer was no, you probably can't. Now, I would argue, Joe Buck better than Jack. Even though Jack was more iconic, came from an older school sort of mentality, not everyone's cup of tea. I would argue even that Kenny Albert, better than Marv. But again, it's all a stylistic thing. I know you hold Marv, in the highest regard possible.
Kenny. I think Kenny does a great job, and he's a great guy. But I would say that Marv is more iconic, and Marv more of a trailblazer. Too.
Noah Eagle is so sharp at such a young age, almost a clone of his old man, who is very good himself. I can't even hate on that. I'm like, shit, give me more of the Eagle kids. They call a great game. It's Jack Collinsworths that do irk me, because he has no business calling Notre Dame games.
Yeah, he's terrible. And there's been a couple of other examples over the years, but the ones you've given have been good. And Ian Eagle is tremendous, and he's going to be he's already replacing Jim Nance in basketball. He's going to replace him in football soon, too, I think.
Yeah. And yet you, Andy Polin, began the station in D.C., the first ever all-sports station in D.C., WTEM, first with scores and breaking sports news. That was the slogan they chose to promote. They put it on their logo, on T-shirts and hats. Tell people why the powers that be thought that was so important to listeners.
Well, because there's no internet. That's how you got scores.
Didn't they run some survey like, so what do you want in a sports station? And they look, and the people in the focus group are like, well, I don't know, scores would be good. And if there's like some news, I want to hear from you guys.
Well, I mean, look.
Okay, run with that. That's who we are.
As this airs, WFAN is celebrating its 37th birthday. It was launched with the idea that the news stations like WINS and WCBS were giving you updates every half hour. We were going to give you updates every 15 minutes. And I was one of the ones who would come in and annoy the hell out of this host, some highly paid hosts like Greg Dumble and Jim Lampley. and I'd interrupt the flow every 15 minutes to give them scores and news. Yeah.
So you would do an update every 15 minutes.
15 minutes. And they even looked
how
into
long
this.
Was your update?
They, as long as I wanted them to be.
Typically, I mean, what was it? A minute and a half?
Probably around 2 minutes. It really was
way too much. 2 minutes?
Yeah, but because there was no phone to get this information. If there's a trade, you know, things like that.
Right.
And they even at the beginning, they looked into the idea of interrupting the Mets games every 15 minutes so they could give these silly scores and updates. I'm serious. And the Mets said, if you miss one pitch, we'll cancel the contracts. Said, okay, we won't do that then.
Yeah. So you were there. Your own radio career had launched many years ago down in Texas. Port Arthur, Beaumont, and you had slugged your way up on your own merits. But here you are, Andy Polin, in D.C., where the most powerful man in sports, owner of both the Capitals and the Bullets slash Wizards, Abe Polin, was a well-known name. How often did you hear from anybody, either on air or off air or just out at events, anything regarding the notion that you were a Nepo baby when, in fact, you were not? Because Abe, while a family member, was your cousin, so it's not like he put you in place.
No, he didn't have anything to do with that. And as a matter of fact, at one time, the Bullets changed radio stations and they were looking for a play-by-play voice. And I got a meeting with Abe and he said it was up to the station. Now, the station hired Charlie Slows, who's excellent. So I really
sorry, Andy. Bang, zoom. There goes your nepotism. Yes, look, Charlie Slows.
But I mean, I did try to get that.
You interviewed for the play-by-play gig for the Bullets.
It really wasn't an interview because the job really wasn't open. Like Abe said, we left it up to the station to decide who they wanted to hire, and they hired somebody excellent. So,
but
I
you
really
wanted you wanted the, you wanted the job, and you got a meeting. And your cousin said, nah.
Yeah. Well, he just said,
he just said, I'm not going to intervene. Not going to intervene. Right. So I'd never asked you, Andy, in all the years that I've known you, whether or not the notion or perception by some maybe that you were the beneficiary of just blatant nepotism had bothered you. Did it?
No, and I don't really remember being accused of that, and I was quite critical of the team, and there was a lot to be critical of in those days. So
that's how that's how people kind of knew, like maybe the Polins spelled differently. They might even not be related because holy shit, Andy is killing them right now.
Well, and when I used to see Abe, he would say the same things that I never listen to your station. But all I hear is that they're killing us. Well, that was Susan O'Malley, who was his team president.
Oh, yeah, who was whispering in his ear. They're killing us over there.
But she was also, she didn't have another choice. She had to put their games on our station. So,
Andy, you and I have been through so many dust-ups with owners and GMs that didn't like our tone of coverage when they were sitting on teams that were absolute dog shit.
Right.
And you and I just had to sit in these meetings and roll our eyes like, what the fuck do you want us to say? You were 4-12 last year. How are we supposed to spin that one?
But I don't overall, I would say with, just awful teams, mostly of the 32 years I've been doing this here, very few times has it been pushback. I got to say, it's been pretty good for management.
Well, I wouldn't say pushback, but there was dust ups. There was stuff that got back to us, you know?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't us being critical of the teams, they would complain, Ted Leonsis, about not talking about them enough. They wanted more shelf space for their product. And then guys like, you know, Ted would pretend to know our business better than we did. And he was way, way out of his fucking tree on the facts on this. And then when I called him out on it on a blog, he got even more pissed, threatened to pull the rights from the station. Back when blogs were powerful, Andy, someone would read someone's writing and go, oh, I'm so angry about this.
Yeah, no, the first time I talked to Ted, he called me in the office to say that his team was on our station and he wanted us to be talking about it all the time. I said, well, you know, you're hockey.
It's hockey.
Yeah. NFL, he said. And I said, and then I said something like, well, our research shows, research. You can say anything you want, you know, so just trying to bully me.
Right. I would have said, why don't you come in, do a shift and talk some caps and just see how many calls you get. Even as the owner, I think you'd find the phones would be pretty quiet. Anyway, yeah. So look, nepotism is real in the world. It's real in the world of sports. You got to just accept it and go with it. Otherwise, it'll drive you crazy. There are even worse dynamics than nepotism where a guy gets a job because his dad's a famous name or helps him out with a job. There are family-run businesses where the kids are put in charge way before they're ready, and they're little fucking tyrants. And yeah, your exactly whole job... Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Who ran out of town, the best play-by-play tandem, most loyal tandem ever in Buck Hance and Chenier, to try to get younger and sexier, and they've rotated through I don't know how many combinations so far.
A few. It's and the ratings have been like, you know, 55% lower.
Of course. And what are you going to do, fire the owner's kid because the ratings are lower? Immune from the consequences from dumb decisions. And it's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. That's why you've got to not let it happen. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long. 45 years ago, today I think it was, Sunday as we taped this, the San Diego Chicken was hatched. This is a great nugget from one Darren Revelle. For those that don't know the legend of the San Diego Chicken as the greatest mascot of all time, just hop up on Uncle Steve and Uncle Andy's knee here. This is a guy by the name of Ted Giannoulis, who launched an idea for a mascot, a chicken costume that he was able to really bring to life with its giant animated beak and his feathers and the way he would, you know, the hijinks he could do with this outfit. He was very good at it. And according to Revelle, when he proposed to the San Diego Padres, I want to be your mascot, even though chicken, like, why would anyone give a shit about a chicken or the Padres? He's like, trust me on this. He said, every ticket sold over your average that I'm performing at, I get $1.50. So when they sold out a couple of times because the chicken got very popular and really was a thing, he made like $90,000 in a single game, which was a huge killing back then.
Right, now here's what I remember. Initially, he was the KGO chicken. There was a radio station there.
Oh, okay.
KGO. And then he went out on his own, and they sued him. but I think he won.
Right, I think he did win, and yeah. it's a hell of a story. Now, there have been other mascots who have overplayed their hands tremendously. For example, the guy that used to ride the motorcycle in for Vikings games, who had a big beard, I think his nickname was Ragnar, the Viking, he held out 1 year. He wanted an insane amount of money, like $5,000 a game. And they're like, bro, you got a beard and you ride a motorcycle. You know how many people in Minnesota we can find to do that exact same job for nothing but a ticket to the game? Get out of here. And that was that.
Yeah. How about the gorilla in Phoenix? Remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Phoenix gorilla. Now, I don't know what's happened since then. And I'm not going to speculate because I'm sure I'll get it wrong and then I'll get a flood of emails. But somebody who does know what happened to the gorilla, let us know. John Anderson signed off of ESPN this past weekend. He was such an easy watch and easy listen as an anchor. Creative, could write beautifully and with great efficiency, had that Midwest charm. He's from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Great series of commercials about This Is SportsCenter involving John Anderson. And he just kind of, you know, 25 years, and he's like, that's enough. I'm going to move on to other things, kind of slow it down a bit. He's teaching, I think, at University of Missouri, where he went to school. Mm-hmm. They're not making any more John Andersons because those guys don't get rewarded in today's ecosystem.
Right, and SportsCenter really isn't that big a thing anymore. You know, the biggest stars on ESPN were the SportsCenter guys.
Are the First Take guys.
When Patrick and Oberman did SportsCenter, that was the biggest thing going on ESPN. And ESPN didn't even like that because they didn't want to have personalities, you know. So that was a problem for them. And they both went on to do other things. Anderson at one time hosted some game show, but I think by and large pretty much stayed doing SportsCenter. Didn't do a play-by-play as far as I know. I think that was his thing, doing SportsCenter.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoy your slowed down life. You're not quite retiring. You're not going to a porch somewhere down in Boca del Vista. But John Anderson, tip of the cap to you, my friend. You were a great anchor to just enjoy watching, deliver the highlights and the news.
Yeah.
Straightforward, a pro's pro. They found the Hawk Tua girl. Andy, I know this is of huge concern to you. She turned up at the Zach Bryan concert over the weekend. Your thoughts? And she got up on stage. She looked great, super cute, in a little cutoff jean, pair of shorts, a tank top, cowboy hat, some big white boots. She got up and screamed to the microphone, Hawk Tua. Then she kind of mouthed some words along with Zach Bryan. So is she going to keep leaning into this persona? How far can you ride a sexual reference as a 15 seconds of fame person in today's internet world?
She'll be done by Labor Day. She's got a month and a half, maybe 2 months shelf life.
I don't think it's even that long. I don't think it's even that long. I mean, come on
probably
now.
Yeah.
All right. Dare I ask you about the debate and Biden?
You can. I will tell you this. It was awful. And I would not be opposed. In fact, I would like it if he were replaced as a candidate.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. You are a reliable Democrat. You've been a Democrat your whole life. Mm-hmm. The thought of voting for Trump is a non-starter, correct?
No. Okay. I've voted Republican. I voted for Reagan twice.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I did. But
okay.
But
so
the key
Trump,
for me
Trump, so
is to not have Trump.
Okay. So if Biden somehow makes it to the finish line in November, you'll still vote for him.
Oh, 100%
okay.
I'll vote for him.
Right. Yeah. Which is, you know, it's a vote against Trump.
And exactly.
I vote against people that are against what I consider my interests and also what I consider to be the proper running of this beautiful republic that we have called the United States of America. Now, that said, you had to laugh your ass off at the golf argument. And cry at the same time, because there's no way a modern superpower should have two old fucks arguing about their handicaps and their golf games on a stage. That's a debate. No way in hell.
Look, first of all, Biden would have been a beautiful opportunity to say, you know, Don, I don't really have time to spend sharpening up my golf game. I'm running the country. I got a lot of things that are going on. Instead, he threw out that he had a 6 handicap when he was vice president. And then when Trump made a little fun of him, he changed it to 8. God, that was just awful. Just terrible.
Oh, my God. It was something else. I wasn't even watching the debate, but it popped up on my social media timeline. And I had to click it to go, wait a minute. Is this a fake? Is this a deep fake? Is this AI? Surely they cannot be talking about this. Trump is a cheater. That has been known to be reported. He is a pretty good golfer. Him bragging about his club championships, that's a very dubious thing. I don't know what championships he's talking about. He used to brag about owning course records. Well, here's how the course record thing would work. He'd buy a golf course or launch one and play it in the ceremonial first round. So whatever he shot that day, because he was the first one playing it, was the course record, at least for a day.
Yeah, no, Rick Riley did a whole thing with him playing golf and talked about how he cheats at everything and bullies people in scoring. You know, but again, the key for that moment was for Biden to say, okay, Don, because earlier this year, Trump put out something about how he won 2 championships and Biden chided him on Twitter saying, well, that's great, Don, what an accomplishment.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's uniquely depressing that we can't have at least younger and more vibrant options, even if you hate the guts of both of them. Like, for example, what would make at least some sense would be, DeSantis versus Newsom. Even though I'm not weighing in on the positives or negatives of both, and there are certainly arguments to be made there, but at least you go, okay, here's some young guys or youngish guys that have all their fucking faculties.
Yeah. No, it's a result of the media that you have one side that you can watch or the other side that you watch. So this is what we've come to after these years. I mean, I hope there's a reset whenever the next 4 years are over, whoever is in office. But yeah, having candidates 81 and 78 years old, not good.
Not good. The memes, though, have been glorious.
It's
been good, including somebody saying the next debate will be at Topgolf. And they're going to hit shots and then answer questions. So stupid.
Yeah.
Last one, and then we're gone. Were you a big Martin Mull fan?
Not huge. I admired his work, but I can't say that I would go out of my way to watch him. No, not in the way I'd like Steve Martin or somebody like that. No.
Martin Mull was just, and for those that don't know, he was a sandy brown-haired, mustached guy who was a comedian and on television in various shows throughout the late 70s and 80s. It seems like when I was growing up, they sprinkled a little bit of Martin Mull into everything, Andy.
Right, yeah. He was in a lot of these sitcoms.
Yes.
And he never really starred in one as far as I
know. No, he never really did, but he was like this component piece where like they must have said, what does the show need? You know what? Martin Mull, we could maybe cast him as a character or something. His dream, though, and this is why I bring it up, Andy, because I think you'll chuckle in admiration. His dream was to kick for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, really?
Claimed that he had a personal best of 47 yards and would often bemoan his beloved Browns, who were his team, how shitty their kickers were for the most part. And he's like, someday I'll kick for them. And who does that remind you of?
Well,
this guy.
And I've seen you kick 47 yarders. I wouldn't want you to try it with the rush of the opposing team. But yeah. Did he also say he could call plays if he had a month's preparation to do it?
Hey, listen, we went through all the nepotism. I didn't say a month. I said a full year of full integration. I said I couldn't design an offense, but yes, I could call plays off a fucking sheet. And you know that's correct. With to the league average, then it wouldn't be great, but I'd be okay. It's ordering off a menu, Andy, all right? Don't pretend it's more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, we had Seisman on one time, and he spit out a play which took about a full 30 seconds to get out. And I said, you think you could call that? And he said, yeah, if I had time to prepare.
Yeah, I didn't have time to prepare. All right. For the record, my long field goal is 45, and it was field measured in my own property on my own goalposts, and with no rush, off a tee, using a square-toed shoe, the likes that Mark Mosley used to wear, ordered off the internet. and it was with a softball that got me extra pop.
Well,
on 45,
but I saw you,
45 yards tops.
I saw you kick 40 yards on the old artificial turf that they finally tore up.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I did see you do it during commercial breaks. We were doing our shows out there. Yeah.
Not now, that's for damn sure. All right. Andy, have a great and safe 4th of July, and I know you will because you'll be on the couch. How can you get hurt on the couch? Answer is you can't.
And I hope you have 10 digits the next time you call me.
I'll count them next time I call you. Just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, got them all. Got them all.
Good.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
I said, take care.
Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.